A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Rank. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars, and if we got a Christmas holiday treat with me today for a very special episode, it's Joseph Scrimshaw.
I am very happy to be here talking about just a joyful thing, Ken.
Joyful thing, indeed. We are releasing this episode on Christmas morning. If you celebrate, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to y'all. If you don't worry. We've got a fun Star Wars ranked about gifts. Our favorite Star Wars gifts we've received. Yes, that's right. We are diving into our personal memory banks and our personal collections of Star Wars memorabilia, toys, and otherwise to share gifts that we've received. You know, the gift of Star Wars, Joseph, it's a gift we all love, yeah?
Absolutely. And this was a really fascinating and fun thing to think about all of the different presents over the different eras and realize that I got a lot of the presents that mean a lot to me on my birthday.
Yes, I experienced that too.
Yeah, so it was a fun realization that like there's definitely going to be some super meaningful things to me, but it was really fun to really stretch my memory in that interesting way nowadays where like, I can't Google that. I didn't write it down. I don't know what I got in, you know, Christmas of 1986 if I don't happen to really remember.
Yeah, and you know, we just did this wonderful long, our favorite lines Star Wars rank series, and it just, the episodes lined up perfectly to be released this Christmas weekend and this Christmas day, and we tossed this idea out here, and I think both had a reaction of, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And then, I had to rack my brain. I had one thing on my list. It was on my list, and then I remembered, oh, I got that, like, graduation for high school. And I could have lied. I could have said it was Christmas, but that's not true to the spirit of what we do here.
No.
And I had a couple times I wanted to be like, oh, I should go out to my storage shed. It was pouring rain last night and this morning, the time of this recording. We're banking this episode a little bit ahead of time. So I couldn't easily go out to my shed. I was like, well, that's not going to, I can't just go through my gifts and see what I got.
Yeah, no, I was the same thing of like, actually one of the most recent gifts, I was like, I'm going to share this wonderful thing that my wife gave me. It means a lot to me because of this. And like, wait a minute, that was my birthday.
So we are going to dive in for this quick, fun little episode. And all answers are honest from our hearts. True Christmas holiday gifts we've received, our favorite Star Wars Christmas gifts. We are going to work our way 5-1. We got a couple honorable mentions thrown in there. But Joseph, let's begin the list with your number 5.
Yeah, so I think one of the things I realized thinking about this is there's been big periods of my life where people wanted to get me Star Wars things, but didn't know what I had or not, which was, I think, a part of this thing. But when I was a child, in general, my parents could sneak around and find out what I had. So when I grew up, I was lucky to have a lot of the Kenner toys, but mostly figures. In general, my family didn't have a ton of money. So every once in a while on the holiday or a birthday, usually together with my grandma, they would get me something bigger. But the one that it came to my mind, because it was a shocking Christmas present, partially because I didn't understand the world or the economy, came in 1984 when I got a ship that I thought was too big and I would never be able to have. And that was the Imperial Shuttle from Return of the Jedi. And this was the holiday, the Christmas of 1984. And I think in retrospect, the reason was Star Wars, the star of Star Wars was fading a little bit. And I think that Imperial Shuttle was probably on discount. I think it was probably like the actual galaxy. I'm like, the Empire's fallen and these aren't as valuable anymore.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, that's amazing. I don't know what chain stores you always went to as a kid, but like for me, it was like a J.J. Newberry. That's probably a J.J. Newberry bargain bin item.
This is the first time in my life I've heard J.J. Newberry.
Really? It could be a different Star Wars ranked, huh? Our favorite places to buy Star Wars toys. Yeah, it was a favorite one as a kid.
Yeah, this would have been Toys R Us or Children's Palace or KB Toys or Sears at the time. Lots of different possibilities. It was really, really great. We had just moved to Minneapolis proper, and this is a really fun time in my life, so I have a lot of positive memories of it. I was so thrilled to get this. It was more than a year after the film, but I was still playing it. I was playing Star Wars. I still had, I went up and got the Emperor and put him right in the shuttle. And we had this kind of divided stairway down into the main living room. And there was kind of an area behind the stairs that they let me kind of just live under like a dog. I don't know why I wanted to be under there, like Harry Potter. But it's like I remember having that shuttle back there and playing it, the wings folding down and flying up out from under the stairs. It is a great memory.
And it's got a handle under it, right?
Yep. Yep. So it was this weird, and that was, the Transformers were blowing up too. So it was almost a little like, oh, this is kind of a ship. It's kind of a gun. Not really. Not really.
It's Megatron in space. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but the box is huge, and it's got the actual photo, and it's got that great old style illustration, and just great all around.
Great way to start this list. I love that. Love the place. And you got it down to the year, the 1984 Christmas.
Yep. Yeah, it had to be because I know it wasn't 83.
Absolutely love that. The Imperial Shuttle, not quite the Shuttle Tidarium on the box, right? Just Imperial shuttle.
Yep, Imperial shuttle. Yep, that's what it's said. Imperial shuttle, Star Wars Return of the Jedi, Imperial shuttle vehicle.
Which I grew up thinking Shuttle Tidarium was just the name of all of them. So, you know, that was about 1989 when I realized that wasn't the case. So, good stuff. Great gift. Great way to start our list. We're moving along here, going to my number five, and I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it on my display shelf. It's tiny. It's not the Imperial Shuttle. Oh, no. It is a R2-D2 and C-3PO snow globe. That is tiny, though. Not like a, you know, like a softball size, like a golf ball size snow globe. Now, you mentioned a little bit, you know, up top there of, you know, a lot of times people know, like family, friends, whatever, like, oh, it's Joseph. He loves Star Wars. Let's get him a Star Wars gift for Christmas. Oh, I bet he's got everything. And then that leads to some interesting choices. I've received, God bless some of my friends in the years past, I've received some gifts. It's like, you just saw the Star Wars logo on this, and now I own it and have to deal with it. Like, what am I going to do with this?
Right. Thanks for the ashtray and the potato slicer that say Star Wars. Yeah.
You ain't lying. That's untrue. So this was kind of one of those situations, yet it was my employees at my old director of security job. They know our nerd boss loves Star Wars. Let's get that guy something for Star Wars. So someone, I wish I give credit to the specific person. I can't remember. They got me this little snow globe. And so I kept it on my desk all year round, mind you. So the year would be somewhere around 2012, 2013, maybe even later than that. I can't remember. But it's just been around for so long, and it's made a couple moves. It made my way. I left that job, and then I think I took it to Screen Junkies and then took it to Collider. And now, since my office is my home and my home is my office, C-3PO and R2-D2 are looking at me, ready to be shaken and stirred to celebrate the holidays.
And is it then, is it snow? Is it white things, or is it like weird space flakes?
You know, it is snow, but the base of it, what it's on is Tatooine. So it doesn't make sense. It should be a sand globe. Like,
that is a Christmas miracle. It is snowing on Tatooine.
Indeed. Right. And, I do love it. You know, I definitely love R2 and 3PO. But I've talked in the past. I don't own a lot of their toys. I just, for whatever reason, that entered my collection. But one of the things I do have that holiday album that was them and Anthony Daniels singing, and What Do You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When You Already Has a Comb, all that kind of stuff. And I have that, but I didn't get that at Christmas. I took that from my old radio job. And so I've always connected those two characters with Christmas.
Yeah.
And so now that snow globe comes along and it's for real. They are Christmas to me.
It makes a ton of sense. There's so much kind of imagery of them. It's sort of the emissaries of Star Wars, particularly in that original trilogy era. If you want some characters, just go, hi, Star Wars. It's 3PO and R2. And there they are in your globe. That's great.
Yeah, and its license is real, and it was a gift from employees who were like, what do we get our boss? He likes to drink, and he likes Star Wars. Let's go with the Star Wars thing here. So that is my number five, the droid snow globe. Love it so much. But we're up to our number four choice. What do you got?
My number four, I am leaping forward in time to the beginning of a whole new era. It was so beautiful. It is 95, I believe, and I had been, you know, going through toy aisles and I did a double take because there's a Star Wars Bendems. And it's like, so close, but don't want it. And I had that fantasy. I wasn't reading any magazines. I wasn't talking to people. I just had the fantasy of like, so many people still like Star Wars. What if they just made the figures again? And then I can't remember how I became aware of Power of the Force 2, that they were starting a new toy line. I don't know if somebody told me. I don't know if I saw a commercial. But then I'd go to Target, and they were sold out everywhere. And this was just the first line of the ridiculously buff figures. Try Star Wars, but I guess the kids like the He-Man and the strength, so Luke's got to have the pecs. I don't know. Long story short, my brother had a girlfriend all through high school that we all spent a lot of time together, and she gave me for Christmas in 1995, because she knew intimately, because we'd go shopping together, she knew every vinyl record and every action figure I was looking for. She found a Muscle Vader, and I had no expectation I'd get this. I open it up, you know, and there it is, Power of the Force 2, Venice Muscle Beach, pumping iron Vader, and I was ecstatic. It was one of the first experiences of like, I'm a kid again. You know, I don't want to, you know, leave the kid stuff in the past. This makes me so happy. It's so cool.
Yeah, mid-90s, you're right. That thing, the Power of the Force line just kind of dropped on us. It was just rumors, maybe, I don't know, but one day you turn the corner, it's there. So that had to be an extra shock of, wow, it's Vader. And why is Vader so buff?
And I just didn't care. Like, I mean, I want to acknowledge being of different generations shape our views, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember if I've said this to you, but I'm thinking a lot about how sometimes genre stuff is like that stereotype of people who grew up in the Depression that they would save everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We grew up when just genre stuff was often just garbage. Like, yeah, superheroes don't have the powers or costumes that they do in comics. That just doesn't happen. That's not the way the world works.
Yeah.
So like back then it's like, Star Wars figures are back and they're ridiculously muscular. Who cares? Because Star Wars figures are back and there's always something weird about the genre thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke's pecs. I should have questioned, but I didn't.
I didn't question at all. I was just so happy they were back. So yeah, it was just like, yeah, that's a little weird that Vader's super ripped, but who cares? It's a new Vader action figure and he's got his actual red lightsaber that isn't stuck up his arm like the original Kenner.
Yeah.
He can hold it. Like, it was amazing.
And the cape was the hard plastic, right? It was
But it was like sculpted to flow.
Yeah. Oh, it was flowing. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So I could go on and on about that one. I'm going to cut myself off. That is a huge one for me. Power the Force to Muscle Vader.
Love that one there. All right. My number four is recent Christmas 2017. I do remember that. Pretty clearly, because there's some bittersweetness to this one and unfortunate news that followed. But a lot of you might remember the late, great John Schnapp, the king of the sweaties. And I got to work with Schnapp and got to know Schnapp working around the Collider days. And we lost him not too long after this. By Comic-Con 2018, we were saying goodbye to John. Christmas 2017, he got me these Return of the Jedi promotional cards. Not lobby cards with the photos and everything, but the cardboard, like probably more close to like 11 by 16, not 8.5 by 11, but like posters of Return of the Jedi that have like art and they're very vintage and they're, but they were from the time, right? And
wow.
I still have them. They're locked safely, very safely in my storage shed from the elements there. And so he gave me, it's like a set of 3 or 4. And he was around he'd come around the office one day and just was giving everyone gifts. And the idea of a coworker giving me a Star Wars gift, clearly with Snow Globe, probably doesn't seem too bizarre. But here's the thing. I want to be clear. Always, from the time I knew of John and worked with John, always loved John. Not a zero problem. But I was producing his show for a while. And John was a unique individual, without a doubt, and an independent man to the core. And producing for the short while I did produce his show on Colliders, his superhero show. Like, we didn't butt heads or anything. He didn't need a producer. He needed a producer, but he didn't need a producer. And so there was a couple times I was exasperated and so we didn't, again, no fighting, nothing, but I was just like, I didn't know if John and I were close. You know what I mean? Like, right. I loved him to death. I don't know. We didn't sit down and have life conversations. So he showed up and he goes, "Hey, again, come, I got you this." And it was so sweet. And it was so, who he was.
Yeah.
Where he had his own way of producing the show. He had his own way of being himself, but he also knew who you were and he also connected with you. And he just wanted you to feel joy and feel it in a specific way. So that was John. It's a memory of John. And these cards are just amazing. I'm doing some rearranging my office. It's one of those things that I need to display in some way. Not only the story to tell of this great character giving me this gift, but just the way they look. And they're just ready for display. So I have a positive memory of that. And like I said, bittersweet, unfortunately. But just it's one of my lasting memories and a great Star Wars gift.
Absolutely, man. I really want to see these cards. I don't know if I've ever seen them. That's a great gift.
I tried to look it up. Even though this is an audiobook, I tried to look it up to maybe send you. I couldn't get out to storage today. It was raining hard, but I was typing lobby cards knowing that wasn't it. I know what lobby cards are. That wasn't it. And it was promotional cards. And then the Topps trading cards would come up. I can't even find it. I have to dig deep.
Wow. That's so cool. Yeah. And I did not know Schnepp well, but that was my understanding of him, is that he was just absolutely true geek, nerd, lover of pop culture. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me that he would obviously he was just a sweetheart, but it does not surprise me that he would be like, oh yeah, no, I just find joy in giving people a little part of the fandom that they love. And unlike, you know, what we were kind of having a laugh about, if not like, I don't know, here's a pencil, that he would know, like, this is unique. This is interesting, you know?
Yeah, he had found these at some point during that year and thought, I need to give them to Ken. And there might have been another set that someone got gift, to be clear. But he was very unique. And I talked later on to Holly about it. And she's like, I was with him the day he bought them. And yeah, it was absolutely like, he saw those, he thought of you. Like, and, you know, it is sweet. And again, we never fought everything, but producing John's show was like this. He had a 15-minute time limit that he imposed on his own show when I was producing it. It was the daily version of the show, Collider Heroes. And I was producer, so I was giving him the wrap-up at the 14-minute, actually 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm giving him the wrap-up. He would look over at me, nod with a smile, and go, okay, and go for another 10 minutes. And that was working with John. And so when I got this, I just love, you know, you had to love him. I love him. You love him. And it was so sweet.
Yeah, that is so great. And I relate to trying to keep it short and failing, because I'm guilty of that.
We all are. But that is my number four, which means we're up to your number three favorite Star Wars Christmas gift.
My number three, we are going to jump into the recent past. And this is a gift from my wife. And it's been interesting to think about all the different ways that gifts are given, who gives them to you. We're talking about that thing where, like, I've had friends in my life who are like, I know what you want as a Star Wars action figure. I can barely even begin to understand which one is which. Do you have that Wolfman? Is that a different Wolfman? Is there something wrong with this Wolf? Like, do you have a Lax Sivrak? Like, and so my wife, for the most part, knows which action figures we have. But we also have this tradition that she and I do of we go out and we give each other a certain amount of money. And then we go to the store and or a mall, and we just split up. And there's a spy element where, like, we don't try to go to Barnes & Noble at the same time, but every once in a while, one of the others sees the other one at Barnes & Noble or Target or whatever. This was a year that she decided, like, you know what? I'm going to spend a little bit of this money to get him an action figure. And I don't know if this is one that he super wants. But it just seems like him, so I'm going to get it for him. So it's one that I probably wouldn't have picked up, and it is the Black Series Luke Skywalker in Yavin Ceremony gear.
Yes.
And it's a great figure. It doesn't come with a lightsaber, which I'm sure is just, you know, for production costs, but it feels narrative. It feels like this isn't quite his thing yet. It becomes that in the comics, but he's got the great sporting blaster. Mm-hmm. He's got the Satine's Lament. And other than that, it's a great mold with that awesome yellow jacket. He's got the metal around his neck. And she was totally right, my wife, that I really try to be careful with Black Series I pick up because of space and money and time. Right. And I probably wouldn't have picked it up. But I'm so happy to have it, because it just that Luke was special to me, because he looked cool as hell. And as I got older, it's like that looks so cool. And what happened? Like, you know, Luke's just got his weird, like, I wear a bathrobe on Tatooine. We all do. That's my thing. And then he has this great victory. And Han's like, hey, kid, let me make you look a little bit sharper. Let me make you look like not a fool going around the galaxy, you know? That was my headcanon that Han gave him a cool jacket, because Han's cool. And then as I got older, like, oh, can you imagine if there was ever an action figure of that?
Right.
I waited like a hawk for Power of the Force 2 to make it. And of course they did. And I just kind of reconnected to some of that when my wife gave this to me, surprise. That's just such, it's so short in the film, but it's so cool. The yellow jacket, and he looks like he's really taken his first step into the galaxy. It's a great figure.
It's a timeless look that has been celebrated time and time again, but you're right. It wasn't in figure form early on growing up. So it just kind of that added to the mythic angle of it, and the story of the jacket, story of the pants, story of everything. Like, how do you end up dressed like that? And it's such a sign of him moving forward. And it's heroic. It's truly heroic. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great look. I don't do cosplay, but if I ever did, I would consider that one. It's such a great look. So that is my number three, my wife surprising me with a great Luke Skywalker action figure.
That's the best. My number three is another personal gift. I'll say some names that some of you might know there. One of my longtime friends, he was the host of Marvel Movie News on Popcorn Talk. My writing partner, Matt Key, has a wonderful wife now, Brittany Wallach, and I've known them close, and Brittany works for Critical Role. She's over there as the marketing and events and promotions and all that kind of stuff, and known them for years, and very close to them, and her parents, Brittany's parents, Wayne and Lori. Oh my gosh, they're the best. They're the best. And they, once they get to know you, Joseph, they're the type, like, they'll check in on you. They'll you want to come down, they live near Disneyland. We'll take you to Disneyland. They're so great. So a couple years ago now, time has flown. I haven't seen him in a few years now, but Brittany's dad, Wayne, Matt Key's father-in-law, I get a note from Brittany. Hey, are you home? We got to drop some off. My dad got you some gifts, and, some Christmas gifts. And, you know, Brittany's so upbeat, so cheerful, loves spreading joy herself. But she was like, when she showed up, she's like, all right, I'm just going to give you this gift. It's from my dad, okay? And you and I talk about, again, people, oh, Ken likes Star Wars. I want to get him a Star Wars gift. That could lead to weird choices. I'm calling it Wayne Wallach's Book of Star Wars, because it is one of those books that you maybe go to a mall kiosk or you order online. I think he went online, and it is a homemade Star Wars book.
Homemade?
Yes. So I think there's a template, but you pull pictures. So they went to my Facebook page, and they pulled profile pictures from many eras of Ken's, and they get inserted into the book by the makers of the book. I don't believe it's licensed. It's just one of those, like, put yourself in a Star War.
And okay,
it is the most weirdest, bizarre, random, thoughtful thing I've ever received. It's funny. The lines are cheesy. And it's hardcover. Like, it's hardcover. It should be a template, but it's hardcover. And it's like my adventures in Star Wars. And it's just got like my badly photoshopped picture. And like, you know, it's not like a Brian Ward original. It is like my 2009 profile picture in an Imperial outfit. In office.
Wow. That's great. So it really is just your head pasted onto Star Wars images, but in a beautiful hardcover book.
Yes. About maybe 20 pages long, right? And a lot of stuff. And it just, I was dying laughing. I loved it. I cherished it. I think it got a little damage in a recent move. So it's not in display shape. But again, going to someone who just is like, clap. Ken loves Star Wars. Let me get him this. He could have got like a Star Wars pen or a Star Wars baseball, something, you know.
An ornament. Yeah. An ornament.
Nah, he went to a creative effort. He went through my Facebook page to put me in Star Wars, and I'm forever thankful to Wayne Wallach's Book of Star Wars.
Ooh, that is great. That is truly a gift that, I mean, I guess other people could receive. I'd be happy to get one. A little weirded out, but I'd still be happy to get one if somebody's like, you need this.
Just imagine those pictures of you dressed as a squirrel in your old stage show or something in Star Wars.
Oh, that would be great. That would be lovely. That is such a sweet present and such a sweet story.
It is indeed. I cherish it. So that's my number three, but we're up to your number two.
My number two, Ken, I don't know if you did this, but I broke in I maybe cheated, but I feel like it's a cheating in the spirit of the holiday. When I was racking my brain for Star Wars and Christmas, I came across this memory that is me giving someone else a gift. I'm including it because it was a present that I was so happy to give. It's one of those, like, it's not a big deal at all. It was just one of those small moments where, especially when I was a little bit younger, I wasn't always great at like pausing and realizing that I was in a special time. Right. Or even more, because I think nostalgia sometimes warps us and we think like, this time was great. And like, I think the honesty, other than extremes, is often there's some crappy things going on and some great things going on. Mm-hmm. And this was a moment where I took to just kind of be happy about, you know, the good things. So this was 1999. Obviously Phantom Menace is out. I have great supportive comedy groups that I'm involved in. I've got just some friends groups that are half attached to the nerd community, half attached to the comedy community, to the theater community. And it's just a really nice time where I just feel like I have a lot of friends and a lot of bonds. Mm. And Phantom Menace, of course, was, you know, a lot of my friends were like, yeah, no, thought about it, terrible. And I had my things that I criticized, but I still just like, but it's Star Wars, you know?
Yeah.
And I was happy that it was everywhere. And I had this, the one friend in the social group who was kind of in that same place about like, yeah, maybe he didn't like that. Maybe he didn't like that, but I'm going to buy every toy. And he would, you know, especially as Power of the Force 2 went on, he spent even more time hunting. And he would get me like the Walmart exclusives. I'd be like, I'm here and they got an A-Wing. Do you want? And like, yep.
Yeah.
So we're going over to a friend's house. My friend still lives there. But I remember I was walking from my apartment in South Minneapolis about 8 blocks in the winter. Because the friends were going to get together. I think we're going to play board games or watch a holiday movie, but we're going to all exchange gifts first. And I had got my friend who hunted for Star Wars toys with me and was my only friend who was still like, yeah, you know what? Phantom Menace. I had got him the novelization of the Phantom Menace.
Nice.
Because I had read it. I had enjoyed it. And I thought, you know, nice. I wanted to share with other people. I'm like, you know, Dwayne's the only person who would not be mad at me if I got this for him for the holidays. And I was, you know, walking through the snow in December with the big box of presents. And it was just one of those moments where I took a moment to stop and go, you know, this is pretty great. I don't know how long this is going to last. I'm going to go to my friend's place. I got this social group now. Star Wars is in the air to the point where I got a Phantom Menace book as a gift, and it is a pretty great time. So that's going to be my number two, is giving someone else the novelization of the Phantom Menace.
This is beautiful philosophy. This is the gift of Star Wars, and this it's great. And in the words of Terry Brooks in a great novel, I love that. And this is you're having one of those life, you're feeling infinite moments, you know?
Yeah.
You're feeling it. And I love Star Wars is in the air again. That's something we wouldn't have thought ever that we were going to experience again.
Yeah, and then we got to experience it then, and experiencing it again when the sequels came out, and again in a different way. Now, it's as you say, it's a great time to be a Star Wars fan, and it was then too. So that's my number two.
Well, but I ain't going to let you out of this one yet here, buddy. what happens when you give Dwayne the book?
He's thrilled. He's like, great, awesome. Yeah, he kind of laughed, you know, and he's like, oh, that's great. I'm going to read this. I'm going to enjoy this. Like, he was real. He wanted it. Like, he was, I think, in that same place for me of like, I got some questions, but in some things I don't like. But it's Star Wars, and a part of Star Wars obviously is the story, but a huge part of it is the experience. And he was just in that same place, like, yeah, I want every toy. I want to read every book. This is great.
Love it. Oh, that's great. That's a great choice. Great choice, and proven you know, you go towards the light side, but yeah, pushing forward. That is your number two choice. My number two choice, man, I racked my brain to make sure I had the right one because I want to be accurate. So year-wise, I don't know, 1987, 1988, I can't remember what year these were released and what year I received them. Doesn't matter. My number two choice for my favorite Star Wars Christmas gift is the original VHS set.
Oh, wow.
This is big because this is a set. Now, this is why I didn't want to get confused. The one that's a little bit later on with you either have your full screen or your widescreen options, which I think was the gold box and the silver box, the packaging.
Yes.
Right? This isn't that. This is the CBS, I think, home video, whatever it was, the old packages. I think there's a lot of cursive, whatever. There's a lot of cursives on the box. Like they wrote the summaries in cursive, I remember. This is that set. But the three pack and you pull the cardboard off, and this came again for me was like late 80s, which is an interesting time because number one, as I've said many times on this program and just Force Center overall, I think I had Return of the Jedi maybe, but we rented those ones and I had a TV copy of New Hope. That was my Star Wars. that's what we had. And we go to, you know, once a year, maybe you'd rent them. I think, I don't think I owned them. And that's all I had. And then again, you're remembering, a lot of you out there know that feeling of knowing when the commercial breaks come in A New Hope. And this was big. I got the VHS copies for myself. But the other thing, the other part of it was, I kind of by this point, you know, started to move on, right? In that sense that we all kind of did at that age and that time, talking late 80s, those dark times of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Still had a lot of things around that were Star Wars. Would still love to celebrate Star Wars with friends. But I was collecting baseball cards. I was getting into sports and other things in life. including my own pursuits, creative pursuits. And even though that was greatly influenced, I would tell people, oh, I want to write stories like George Lucas. I wasn't writing Star Wars stories. I was writing my own things. So I started to, you know, 11, 12, 13 range, starting to move forward. But this gift was, it was just like, I have Star Wars in my own hands now. I finally can watch it. I don't have to rent it. I don't have to go to my friend Terry's house. It's mine now. It's mine. And it stayed prominently on my my room on a shelf of not too far from my VCR for a very long time until I moved to Los Angeles.
That is amazing. I Googled this set and I came to a site called Mercari, which looks like an eBay-like site. Where it looks like the exact package you're describing is available for $1,805.
Okay.
Free shipping.
Okay, I'm literally staring at it right now. And I think I said CBS Home Video. Of course, I meant Fox. I think I'm staring at it. I'm staring at the set right now. After I'm recording, I'm going to look this up. And I might, I might have food for the next week.
And I know it's the right one because it's got this big cursive message from George Lucas on one side of the box.
That's it. Yeah, George. Yeah, you're right. It's a message from George. Holy moly. I didn't even pull these. I made this list by memory. I'm staring at it. It's got Kylo Ren's Lego minifig on top of it right now.
Well, you know, you got to destroy the VHS if you're ever going to become what you're meant to be, says Kylo Ren.
Yeah. Get the Blu-ray. You're right next to it.
Get the Blu-ray 4K.
That's exactly the one. That's what you did. Have a year attached to that at all?
I'm looking for it. No, I don't think it does. No, they don't. It's just, they just say vintage. They don't list. I bet it's late 80s.
Yeah. I know Joe Yowza isn't in there. I'll tell you that much.
And it's still got the like old New Hope art with, once again, I guess the theme of this is Luke with pecs, because it's got that old New Hope art with his just ripped chest.
100%. And you got the Han and Leia from Empire. You got the, it's all on there. The Struz and stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. I got three sets because right next to it is the other VHS sets that they released. And I got the widescreen one. Which I remember debating. Well, I don't know. Full screen, I think you see more, but widescreen, you get those stupid black lines. But I think I'll get white.
And I got them individually a little bit later. But still that same sort of CBS Fox design, but not the box set. That's amazing. Yep.
There you go. There you go. That's my number two choice, the original VHS set. And yes, I have a working VCR in the house. So maybe one day I'll watch those original versions I hear so much about. That is my number two. We are going to take a quick break. And on the other side, our number one choices for our most favorite Christmas gifts, Star Wars Christmas gifts of all time, and some honorable mentions. Stick around for more gift talk here on Star Wars Minute.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. I'm Kat Navsok here with Joseph Scrimshaw, and we are talking Star Wars Christmas gifts. Happy holidays to those who celebrate, and maybe you're listening on Christmas morning when this episode is being released. We've been talking our favorite Star Wars Christmas gifts, getting personal, pulling things off our own shelves, and talking about giving the gift to Star Wars as well. We don't have as many honorable mentions because, as Joseph and I have kind of explained, we thought, yay, a lot to choose from. No, that was Christmas. No, that was graduation. Oh, I got that for myself. Oh, I bought that for myself. Oh, I gifted that myself. So the honorable mentions are a little smaller. But what's on your list, Joseph?
Yeah, so this is on my honorable mention because I'm 90% sure it was a Christmas gift. I think it had to be because I would have remembered if it was my birthday. It's a vehicle, and it's a smaller one from back in the day, but it is one that I had, and I'm guessing the dates based on where we were living when I was playing with it, and right. It is the original Snow Speeder. It was so great. You know, it had the cloth, hook in line to take down the AT-AT. There was room for a figure in the gunner space. When I got batteries in it, finally, it did light up down the firing lanes, and it was yellow. And I remember thinking, like, that's great and weird. And is that at that point, you know, I was like, I can't see the movies all the time. I have like my storybooks and my trading cards. Like, I don't think the Snow Speeders shot yellow, but maybe they did.
Or it's like an alternate planet version. Like they're in Tatooine now or something.
Yeah, we got to modify the Snow Speeders so they shoot yellow.
That's great. I have a little just plain old jealousy on that one. I love the original Snow Speeders.
Yeah, I think for a while it was like my brother had the Falcon and I could play with it sometimes with supervision. But it was like my first vehicle, and I remember loving that thing and trying to make up reasons that it could fly other places than Hoth.
Yeah,
it's got a hyperdrive. Yeah. Narrative. Yeah. Jumping to the super modern, another gift from my wife. She got me the This Is the Way Mandalorian storybook.
Yes.
And this was obviously very recent. I believe it was just last Christmas. And one day when it was a rough day, obviously there's been some rough times for the world lately. I just opened that up, and it was just like being hugged by Star Wars, because it is just like, yeah, I can't remember it exactly, but you know, it's the Mandalorian is a, you know, he is a serious man who goes about his business, and he meets a child and decides that child can't be alone, and they become like, it just tells the story in the simplest terms, and it's just like, heartbreaking and beautiful.
It's uplifting, yeah.
Yeah. And then final one for me, I just have three.
Yeah.
Is this is one that I desperately want to be reconnected with. So for many years, my friends would have, my social group would have a big Christmas Eve party. In particular, it was at a couple of friends lived in the same place in this great attic apartment. And they had all of these fun rituals. They had had a family member say in a mean way once that when they didn't get enough presents, that they were mad that they lost Christmas and that the person with the most presents won Christmas. So as a joke, there was a game to see who could give which friend the most presents so they would win Christmas.
Oh, that's great.
So there's all these fun rituals. We stayed up late, made a fire, made this, you know, late on Christmas Eve run to just a convenience store and got microwave burritos, the whole thing. So emerging from that story, that group of friends, they got me in, I believe, 2007 when it came out, this huge book, the Star Wars Vault, subtitled 30 Years of Treasures from the Lucasfilm Archives. Steve Sansweet and another author worked on it as well. Steve Sansweet, of course, you know, in charge of Rancho Obi-Wan. It's Steven Sansweet and Pete Vilmer. And this book is just a lot of history, but it's a lot of reproductions of like actual things from the archives that you could like open it up and fold it out in their little pockets. It comes with CDs with like relatively obscure interviews. They might not be obscure now. Maybe they're on YouTube. Anyway, I remember being like really touched because these are my friends, like, we'd like to get him Star Wars stuff. We don't know what he has, but he probably doesn't have this because I didn't have a lot of money at the time and it was expensive. And I flipped through it a little bit and life just got too busy. And, you know, I didn't have enough time to look through everything that I wanted to. And I remember when I was going through everything to make the move to Los Angeles, I was like, I have to really be choosy. And this book's like, this is going to, you know, literally weigh the car down. This is a significant weight to add. So it's like, put it in the storage space. We're going to deal with it soon. It's been about 8 years. And it's this wonderful Christmas present that is in my storage space in Minneapolis that I can't wait to reconnect with.
One day you'll have the space and the truck needed to transport it out.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of special because it's a great gift. It was a wonderful gift at the time. Yeah. I'm seeing here the weight is 5.9 pounds, according to Wikipedia. I would have such a different relationship with it now. Like, I loved it then. I thought it was cool then. But with just everything we've gone through with Force Center and connecting more with a larger Star Wars community, I know there's so many things in there that I would have enjoyed in 2007, but they're going to be even richer for me to enjoy when I reconnect with this book.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So those are all my runner-ups.
That's a great list there. And you got me thinking about something here. I got to look up a fact while I'm chatting. Oh, I can't even find it. That's crazy. All right. So my honorable mentions, again, I buy myself a lot of things and that's a problem, you know, so myself. And that makes it hard for people at Christmas. Even Grace will say, she'll say, I don't know what to get you. I'll throw you buy yourself stuff, Star Wars related. I don't remember exactly what Christmas I got it, but I do. My Hoth Luke Kenner classic is one of my favorites. And I remember because it's like, you know, you got a Luke. It's like you get to go back, you know, to school and I got a Luke, guys. I'm in. I got a Luke. But what Luke? Hoth Luke. Okay. I guess it's Luke, but I love it. Like I have just an affinity for snow gear, as we've discussed. But I love Luke.
I'm shaking my head. Those kids were wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah, those friends. Yeah, they didn't understand Star Wars. They didn't understand Star Wars. So that one, I wanted to include it, but it's like I just don't remember exactly when. You know, obviously between 80 and 83, but I came to Star Wars around 82, 83 on a regular basis, so it would have been around there. That's on my list. Then I go to the books. You got a good idea there by going to these big, wonderful books. Cause man, don't I love them. So, December, this would be Christmas 2008. You mentioned Steve Sansweet. He co-wrote this along with others, including Pablo Hidalgo. Back then, a name I didn't pay attention to much, you know? Just a good researcher in Star Wars, a good writer. And this is the complete Star Wars encyclopedia.
Oh, wow.
This might have been on my list, maybe, but you know, it came to me, it was gifted to me during a previous relationship. You know, so I don't want to put on the list out of respect for Grace here, but great relationship and a person I'm still friends with. But and part of it was, you know, she when we started dating, she was not a Star Wars fan, and by the end of it, she was a Star Wars fan and actually carried that on in life with her children that she eventually had with her husband and all stuff. So I was that's a good thing to come out of that relationship. And yeah. In 2008, she got me this complete Star Wars encyclopedia, which I still have. And you talk about weight. I mean, these things could be used as a weapon, and this was kind of one of those first things, even though we grew up with BTS stuff. And one of the things I thought it was a Christmas gift, but it was a high school graduation. But I have like those original kind of Art of Star Wars books that came out in the mid 90s with like scripts. And, you know, that was kind of a, oh my gosh, you know, remember Star Wars and here's how they made it. So this is a, you know, 10 years or so later. And it was like, at the time I felt like this was an invitation for me to reconnect with Star Wars.
Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's why it was powerful. Now, the book is full of Legends characters and weird random comic characters. And it's like, you look at it now, I almost can't help but laugh on some of the stuff, but other stuff is great. But that didn't matter. What was inside didn't matter. It was, the display is beautiful. It's got, it's a black box with like a red band around it. And it goes around the books. So you got the X-Wings and from the special edition attack on the Death Star. Yavin, Battle of Yavin. And then you got Anakin and Obi-Wan from Revenge of the Sith on the bottom. So here it is, 3 years after the prequels, and I'm got a different relationship with the prequels then than I do now. And it was like, it was in my hands. I had to deal with it. I had to reconnect. And this was one of the first things that I got back where Star Wars was kind of back in my life. And that's why it's a special thing for me.
That is very special that it has emotional weight, and it is literally heavy. I'm looking on Wikipedia.
Yes.
10.6 pounds.
Yep. Yep, it is, and I have had to, you know, move it around a lot, and you know, it's still there. It's on my shelf out in the living room right now, and it's just a wonderful set. And the books, I mean, I remember at one point, when like kind of the Schmodown stuff was picking up and the Star Wars stuff, and it was like this, you know, I knew I was going to be competing out at Star Celebration Orlando. I was like, I pulled those out. I was like, well, let me study. And as I looked through it, and I was like, there's nothing. I can't study this, like. It's all old. It's just, it's so wild and crazy. And it's three volumes of just every little nook and cranny of Star Wars.
That is so great. And such a great reminder of how long Pablo Hidalgo has been in this game.
Yes. And the other thing for me, a special mention, and another book, and the weight only gets bigger. I did receive a gift from some of my Patreon supporters in I think 2018 or 2019 were generous enough to gift me the Star Wars Archives by Paul Duncan.
Nice.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before, and I think I might be gifting myself the prequel era one that came out last year. And it's an amazing book. I have it on my coffee table in front of me, and just idly, you know, I'll thumb through it or pick something up. And sometimes things end up on the Force Center or Spotlight Star Wars or something. Other times, just like I'm having a frozen burrito looking at Star Wars. Love the books. I think Paulus Duncan did an amazing job with them. And as an added bonus, because it is 15.52 pounds, you can squeeze the water out of tofu like nobody's business with this book.
A practical gift. Yeah. I got to put those on my list. I got to get both those archives book and a new coffee table that can physically support them, because my current coffee table can't.
Yeah. And look, they release the smaller versions, right? Those are out there, price to go, a lot cheaper. And it's the smaller versions. And if any of you get those, or even you, Joseph, what a great addition. But there's just something just grand about this book that's so large, you need a table to read it. You can't hold this. It's too cumbersome and long. It can barely fit on the cookie sheets to squeeze the tofu. Like, it's giant.
That's what I want, though. That I want that vibe. Like, this should be on, like, a plinth in an ancient library because you're looking up forgotten wisdom. Like, I like that vibe.
There should always be a little light shining on it. And some docent around you telling the story behind it.
Yeah, you got to put your little white gloves on. You're like, wait, I found it. The spell that will unlock the mystery. Yeah.
It's there. So anyways, love that one. Special place in my heart as well. But we have reached the number one spot in our lists here on Star Wars Ranked, our favorite Star Wars Christmas gifts. I'll go with my number one, so Joseph can close the show with his. And this is it. I'm finally putting into record. I'm finally really listing this down because I've mentioned it so much. And that is Christmas of 1983. Oh, the great Return of the Jedi was still in the same calendar year, but in our rearview mirror. But you might have been able to catch a showing that time. This was the Kenner Y-Wing that I received that set me on my journey for Team Y-Wing. Something I've been proudly on my entire life. Talked about Jedi Alliance. Used to always talk about that. People would give me Y-Wing shirts. I'd buy Y-Wing shirts. And I still talk about those Y-Wings now, the workhorse of the Rebel fleet. And it all stems from that Christmas day, getting the gift. Because, you know, as you and I have discussed before, too, like this is the 80s. The middle class is eroding fast. And my parents weren't going up. They were sliding down, and they treated me with this. Like I, you know, I was a good kid, I guess, but I don't know if you know if I deserve this. Like they, you know, I don't even know what it was priced at back then, but it was a bigger gift, and it took a lot out of their budget, but they gifted me with the Y-Wing. And, even though that necessarily wasn't in the forefront of my mind back then, that became apparent later on as I looked at the gift and just loved it. And that thing, they could have got me the X-Wing. They didn't know, by the way. They don't know. They could have got me the Imperial Shuttle. They could have got me, whatever was out there. The Falcon, but probably priced too high. They got me the Y-Wing, and it's just random. And it's just a hunk of plastic with some stickers on it and some AA batteries in it, making a sound. And I didn't even have a pilot. I had to put Hoth Luke in it. And that started my love, my specific love. And those specific loves are often what drives our Star Wars passions forward. We love those little things, whether it is Han's, my favorite character, Luke's your favorite character. And that happens, you've told the story so many times, Joseph, of how you came to love Luke. And it's just the Force leads you in a way. And I mean that as magically and even cheesy as possible. It's Star Wars and I love it. I love all of it. But the little specific loves come from things like this. And here I am, a 7-year-old kid on Christmas morning, so used to getting smaller gifts, so used to my friends being the ones getting the Sky Striker from G.I. Joe or Optimus Prime, and I'd get Bumblebee. And I love Bumblebee because of that. I'm connected to that character because I had the little $2 Bumblebee, but my friend had the $30 Optimus Prime. And I got the Y-Wing, and that's mine. And it was big, and the box was bulky, and it was mine. And I connected with the Y-Wings from that day forward. Love it. Absolutely love them.
I love this story. I love this this truth. I feel like there's the way you have led your life. you are like a Y-Wing. The way you joke about yourself, you're like a Y-Wing. I'm like, yeah, well, maybe it might take me an extra minute, but I'm actually going to get the job done.
There you go. I'm full of ion torpedoes, among others.
Yeah. And when the X-Wings can fly around and be fancy, but you will get the job done. And it's just such a great celebration of Star Wars, because I think this is one of the great powers of this saga and this story is that it jumps off the screen. And it becomes personal because now when you looked at that Y-Wing, right, there was a part of you on screen because you made this like intimate relationship with it where you're flying that thing around. You're staring at all of the bits and the pieces and it means something different than when you see it on screen because you have this different relationship with it.
I can't not see them when they pop up in shows and movies. Right. And I'd already seen Return of the Jedi by that point, but forever changed. Every time I watch Return of the Jedi after receiving that gift, I'm there's one, there's one, there's another one.
Yeah. Yep, and they're great ships with lots of different variations and different serial numbers you can memorize.
Yeah, indeed. And as a lot of folks know, I kept that with me. That hunk of plastic lasted with me all the way until 2019, when I just finally had to get rid of it in a move. It just had been broken and beaten too many times, and I've fortunate to have a replacement one had been gifted to me, which is still in a box, safely and secure. And one day I'll pull that out and relive my Wild Wing glory. So that is my number one choice, my beloved Wild Wing. But Joseph, what is your number one favorite Star Wars Christmas gift?
Oh, well, your number one is absolutely great. And not surprisingly, they our number ones kind of work together. I went through this experience that we're both talking about as a kid, the things that were out of our grasp and you'd hear about other kids having. I remember in particular the kid at school who had this thing. His name was Jeremy. He was the kid who had it all.
Yes.
And he had, this thing that I wanted that I pined for that my brother and I pined for as well, but it was out of reach. Mm-hmm. That was the AT-AT. I know other generations say AT-AT. I'm just going to say AT-AT because we're talking about our lives. That's what we call them. Yeah. So we always wanted the AT-AT, never had it. It was always a dream. Fast forward again to the Power of the Force 2 era. Both my brother and I, we're doing comedy together. We're really starting our young adult lives. We both have jobs. We have a little bit more money and, you know, it is this interesting time in culture where we both had a sense of humor about, oh, we still might get each other Star Wars things because we legitimately like it. But it's also that sense of humor of like, hey, yeah, the generation before us put away kid things. And you know what? We're not gonna.
Yeah. Nope.
And it was kind of sincere. It was kind of a joke. It was kind of defiant. So it wasn't just the nostalgia. It was this sort of like, yeah, no, we might make fun of ourselves for it, but we're not letting go.
Right.
In that spirit, which was a lot of my Star Wars love and the way I talked about it is having it be a fun joke that I got Lak-Sivrak, you know, that particular holiday, which I think was 98.
Right.
I got him the Rogue Squadron video game because he had an N64 and I didn't yet. Yeah. And we didn't live together. And he got me the Power of the Force 2 Imperial AT-AT Walker. Oh. And it was just one of those, like, it was presented. And I think we even joked about, like, hey, your childhood's healed. Here you go.
The error has been corrected.
The great error has been corrected. I'm like, yeah, you couldn't have it. But, like, that was the magic of the Power of the Force 2. And I know there are younger people that Power of the Force 2 was their first exposure, or Power of the Force 2, or those old figures that their older brother had, you know?
Right.
But for me, growing up with the original trilogy, it really was like, you know what? People still love this. Why not? Let's do it. And this was so cool. It was so big. It came with an AT-AT pilot and an AT-AT commander, not specifically Veers. It just said an AT-AT commander. You can open it up. You can put the stickers on. As it says on the box, it comes with real movie sounds. I think it's got a cable for Luke to do some action on, or some other Power of the Force 2 Luke came with that. So you could do that. And oh man, I love this thing. And it was the first thing I took it out of the box. And it was the first thing I did through the years when I moved into a new place is I set it up somewhere weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I had a couple of apartments with like nice wooden buffets, and just striding atop it, keeping its balance perfectly, was the Imperial AT-AT Walker, sometimes with my old snow speeder crashed at its feet.
That is a great intersection of just, generations of Star Wars fandom looking to the past and something you felt your life needed, celebrating it now. And you're so right of our, not just our generation, but Star Wars fans of that time going, you know, we're not leaving this stuff behind. It's here to stay. And I'm going to take it with me wherever I go.
Yeah. And the AT-AT was that, like, it was one of the many white whales, right? And
yes.
To be able to finally have it and have it be just so cool. It's just a pure, happy, joyful memory. And not only when I got it, but the many years that AT-AT was a big part of my decorating scheme.
Yeah. And I dare I ask where it is now? What is the fate of this AT-AT?
It is. I have both the box and the AT-AT itself and all the figures carefully packed away. They did not come with me to Los Angeles because they take up a lot of space. but someday when I have a little bit more room, my relationship with that Walker is not done. The Walker will rise again and be a part of my decor.
Oh, I love that. One day the Walker will rise again. There we go. That is a beautiful way to end the list. Ah, we love these things so much. These hunks of plastic, these little books, and these big books. Man, they're all of our Star Wars love personified in these objects and these items, and they're great to receive as Christmas gifts. So,
yeah,
we're almost out of here today. Thank you all for listening. And you got, you know, your own gift you want to share? Do so. In fact, maybe even as you're listening, you're getting some cool Star Wars gifts. We want to know. Let us know by following us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked. You can find us on Instagram. And you can find us on YouTube as well, where episodes are rebroadcast there in audio form. We're on Facebook as well as Force Center Podcast. You can get an audio book on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. You get merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. Maybe get some gifts next year. Stock up now on gifts you want to give to others next year. You can find the podcast a lot of places, including Amazon Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. Don't forget, you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. Follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, KenNapsok.com. Joseph, where can they go for you?
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And for all my other comedy adventures, you can find me on josephscrimshaw.com. And I just want to echo what Ken has said. I hope everybody who celebrates is having a great Christmas, a great general holiday time. And I hope that you got to give and receive some great Star Wars joy.
And absolutely, I echo all of that as well. So that is it for this week. So for the Veers figure that never was, we'll see you next time. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.